Welcome to FIU's Tech Conversations at the FIU Radcliffe Art and Design Incubator. And today's guest has been here before. She's back for a follow-up with a new title and with an anniversary. Want to welcome back Miami native Melissa Medina.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Maggie. Thanks for having me on again. I'm excited be back and give you some updates, exciting updates of what's to come in the next few weeks.
I always tell people, how can communities get better if people don't stick around to help them grow and be at the forefront? And I think you're a clear example of a Miami native. I'm a Miami native as well. I'm actually third generation.
Wow.
My family's from Key West of all places.
Oh my gosh. I think that's the first I hear of that. I did not know that. There's not many third generation.
No. But I recently did the ancestry DNA test and there's interesting things that came out. So, you know, I want to first of all thank you for, you know, you and your family actually, for the service you've brought to this community and for creating eMERGE in 2014. You know, it'll be 10 years. So you're celebrating a 10th anniversary, which is huge.
Yeah.
When people talk about technology becoming obsolete, and we'll get into that later in the conversation, talk a little bit about what it means, Melissa, to be now with this new title. You are co-founder, CEO, and president of eMERGE. Talk about how your role changed from the last time we spoke.
Yeah, of course. Thank you again. You know, first and foremost, celebrating these 10 years is a huge milestone. And I would say not only for us as an organization, of course, eMERGE, it's crazy to kind of think back how this all started. But I think more importantly, it's a milestone of our community, of our entire region. What we have accomplished together in the last 10 years is transformational and it's incredible. And I love looking back and kind of thinking, you know, this would not have happened without incredible support, FIU being one of them that believed in us from day one, because a lot of people did not believe in this crazy idea from day one. But to answer your question about my role, I think, you know, the biggest difference, to be honest, is that my business partner, who I adore and, you know, who moved on to an exceptional role within the government as the executive director of the World Bank, is no longer my partner in crime. And we used to divide and conquer a lot, you know, including travel and including, you know, different responsibilities. So I would say that's the biggest difference, not having him always, you know, and splitting all the work with him. I learned a lot from him as well. Say that's the biggest difference. But it is also, you know, I'm very also proud of the entire team that I've built and that we built together. And coming into this 10-year anniversary as, you know, the co-founder and CEO, it means a lot to me. You know, this was just an idea, a conversation that my father and I had back in late 2011, early 2012. So it's been a 12-year process. And to get to this point is really exciting. And like I said before, could not have happened without tremendous support from a lot of people and a lot of organizations.
You know, it's incredible because, you know, we're recording this in March, which is Women's History Month.
Yes.
Really making history because, you know, we see still in this day and age, I have to say, we still see very little women CEOs at the top. You know, I just recently read an article that says that they have the shortest tenure compared to men as CEOs. So we'd like to see more of that. We'd like to see longer tenures. And I'm excited that you're, you know, Hispanic, you're a woman, and you're at the forefront of a company that has really, you know, kind of gone beyond the boundaries because people don't really still believe in technology. And that goes to sort of my next question, you know, what do you respond to people that say that the metaverse is old?
I would say that that's a premature judgment. You know, there are a lot of emerging technologies, not only metaverse, but people talk about AI, about quantum technologies. And with advancements in technology, like the ones I just mentioned, I believe the potential is just starting. We're just beginning to scratch the surface. I think there is sometimes hype that is just really built up in some of these emerging technologies. Then that hype sort of dies down. Clearly, crypto was one of those, right? Where it had this amazing J-curve effect, and then it sort of crashed, and now it's actually coming back up again. Blockchain, the same thing. They're very powerful technologies that serve a purpose. It's just going to take time for them to evolve and to figure out which organizations are the ones that are truly creating these revolutionary solutions with these technologies and weeding out the ones that really aren't the ones advancing this technology. So I would say canceling out the metaverse or any of these emerging technologies is very premature. I think there's still a lot more to learn and to see what's to come with these technologies.
I've had a couple of conversations. We even had a panel at FIU recently about the impact of AI. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you feel about AI and ChatGPT? Because I know, for example, that in journalism, a lot of newsrooms do not use it. They don't encourage their producers and their reporters to use it at all. And then there's others that say to them, you know, go ahead and use it as a tool, as an assistant, but don't use it as something that's completely fact-checked, right? And I myself am guilty of using it just to look it up. And I have gone away from it a little bit because I feel like it embellishes things too much and I'd rather just put my own personal touch on it. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, I think AI, as I mentioned before, these are emerging technologies that are extremely powerful. And I don't think AI is going anywhere. I actually think that AI is going to be transformational for us in many, many ways. We see it already. I think there are clearly lots of opportunity with artificial intelligence. I think there are a lot of challenges, right? We're seeing how you can make images out of AI and people can't tell if they're real or not real. I think there are clearly a lot of challenges, but I also think it's not going away. So we need to adapt.
Completely agreed. So let's kind of shift gears and sort of celebrate the 10 years of eMERGE. You know, last year, I've attended the last couple of them. You had Tom Brady headlining. What does this year's panel look like? Because I know we have Pitbull as part of the roster.
What better way to celebrate, you know, the growth of the 305 into this global worldwide hub than Mr. 305, Mr. Worldwide himself. And he's also been a part of this journey from the beginning. When I first met Armando, better known as Pitbull, to just tell him what the idea was of eMERGE, he fully embraced it and said, I not only want to be a part of this, I want to be there, I want to invest, I want to be a partner. And he's really helped us in the growth and the journey of eMERGE. So it makes all the sense in the world that he'll be back. He'll be doing a fireside chat with my father, who's the chairman of the board of eMERGE and obviously the founder and visionary. And, you know, I think that's going to be a very fun conversation to have. And like him, I mean, we actually just went live with our agenda and announcement of our speakers last week. We also have a lot more surprises in store because there are still roughly around, I don't know, 47 or 48 days left, but who's counting? But we have leaders in the quantum space speaking. We have a phenomenal leader named Reshma Sajoni, who is the founder of Girls Who Code. She's also founder and CEO of Moms First. She is an incredibly inspirational leader, really pushing the boundaries and helping to empower women. And we have one of the leaders in AI, Peter Diamandis, who's the founder and executive chairman of the XPRIZE Foundation, Singularity University. I mean, he's a global thought leader. And just to bring it full circle, he was our first ever keynote when we opened our doors in 2014. And we're bringing him back because in 2014, he was talking about AI. And now he's talking about the intersection of AI and longevity and just so many fascinating topics that we're going to hear at eMERGE this year.
So let me ask you a question, because I know the last time we spoke, I said, you know, Miami's a growing tech hub. That was about 2 years ago or maybe more, since I think you were a guest in season 3. Where do we stand today from where 2014 was, trying to build Miami as a tech hub, to where we are in 2024?
I think there is no question that there is no longer a need for validation. I think that Miami has this global lens on it. South Florida has a global lens on it. And we're clearly becoming leaders in terms of technology and entrepreneurship. That being said, we're definitely still in the emerging stages of becoming a global tech hub. And that's okay. To me, that just shows that there's so much more opportunity. Everybody that has moved to Miami, you know, the tech talent migration we've had, the influx of financial resource, the influx of huge organizations that are now established in Miami over the last 3 or 4 years are going to be part of what the next 10 years of Miami looks like. I see it as continuously evolving, but I also see this, we're at a point where we're not turning back, in my opinion. It's only uphill from here. And I think that's very, very exciting, the position that we're at right now.
So, you know, I read a lot about companies moving here to mm-hmm. start their headquarters.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about, if you can, tell mm-hmm. us how much that has changed since sort of when eMERGE began. Like, how many companies do we now have here, if we have that number? Or if you have an estimate of how many companies have really set up their headquarters here? Because I think it's an important number and an important conversation to have, because people, every day I hear companies more and more laying off people in different intersections, different, you know, sectors. And, you know, a lot of people moving to Florida during the pandemic, that creates an urge for job searches, right? It becomes harder. So are we, you know, do we know if they're hiring residents from here, if they're giving training programs, mm-hmm. or are people still being brought out of state? Because I know that concerns a lot of people.
Of course, and it's a valid concern. I think the organizations that I've seen that are growing their companies here and that have planted a flag here and that are really hiring a lot of talent are being thoughtful and mindful in providing opportunity for our local talent pool. I see the way that they're working with the universities across South Florida to provide, you know, a bridge between their opportunities and the students that are graduating from UM, from FIU, from Miami-Dade College, from Nova, Southeastern University. You know, I think there's a lot of good intentions that are happening right now. Yes, I think, are there challenges? Of course. And I think that comes naturally with an ecosystem that had this huge acceleration and spike in growth. I think that nobody, even us who have been championing these, you know, this vision for so many years, I don't think we would have ever imagined the acceleration and growth that we received, I mean, basically because of COVID, which was the silver lining of the global pandemic. Not that we ever want to go through that again, but that's going to pose challenges. There's no question. I definitely am extremely optimistic in the work I'm doing in connecting what I would say are the five tech ecosystem stakeholders, which include entrepreneurs, investors, global organizations, academia, so universities, and government all together to make sure that we are having those conversations, which are very important. We want to make sure that we're building something meaningful and thoughtful and diverse as an ecosystem in the next 5 to 10 years. And are there challenges? Of course, but I believe that the numbers, I don't have the exact numbers of number of companies that have moved here. I know we have it, but I don't have it off the top of my head. But I could tell you from my conversations anecdotally from 2014 to now 2024, I mean, it's clear the migration has happened. It's clear that there are a lot more companies. I mean, some of the most massive companies are here now. Citadel moved their headquarters here. Doma Bravo moved their headquarters here. Founders Fund is here. I mean, I can go on and on just off the top of my head. Andreessen Horowitz is here now. None of those companies were here before the pandemic. So I think it's been, you know, a snowball effect. I think, thankfully, I think there was a foundation here of a lot of amazing organizations wanting to build and believing that South Florida has all the elements to become a thriving tech hub. And now it's sort of all the pieces of the puzzle are coming together. It doesn't come without challenges, but I do believe that we're on the right track.
I think, you know, people can choose to start their businesses anywhere because of incentives offered across the country. I recently read that Walt Disney actually had two preferred sites for the Magic Kingdom. I don't know if you knew about that.
I don't think so.
I think one of them was where he was from and the other one was here in Central Florida. And he ultimately decided to build the Magic Kingdom here because of the accessibility. And we're talking about late 60s, early 70s when South Florida was nowhere it is today. So I think, you know, having the vision to imagine, you know, Miami as a tech hub is kind of visionary because we do have the accessibility to go anywhere from here, Europe, you know, Latin America, we're the gateway. You can stop here and connect anywhere in the world. So I think it makes complete sense. And I feel like companies also need to invest in new talent. I'm always very much about that. And I think universities are a first stop for that. I know at FIU, they do an amazing job of connecting students to internships and all the relationships we have, including the ones that we have with you guys at eMERGE. We're so thankful for that because it doesn't happen, like you said, without a combination of the public and the private sectors coming together.
Agreed.
So on that note, as we sort of wind down this talk, you know, what do you imagine the next decade will be like for eMERGE and Miami as a whole?
I imagine that it's going to continue to evolve. I imagine that it's going to continue to be on the global map. I imagine that, you know, it's going to continue to be this gateway, not only to Latin America, but to Europe and the rest of the world as well. I think you mentioned before that people now are empowered to work and build their organizations wherever they want in the world. Really, it doesn't have to be captive anymore of a certain geographic location. But I do think that Miami, South Florida, and even our entire state is one of those top choices for a lot of people now. And I think before the pandemic, perhaps people weren't aware of how amazing it could be to build and launch an organization out of South Florida, all the amazing elements that we have here that you mentioned before. And most importantly, just the melting pot that we are, you know, the diversity, the different ideas that we bring to the table. It's an immigrant built city and state. And I think that's a big part of our sort of tenacity and also welcoming nature as an ecosystem. For the next 5 to 10 years, I think we're going to continue to build. I don't think there's going to be any slowing down. And we're going to, you know, continue to become this thriving global tech hub that I imagine we can become.
Is there any one company that we haven't seen be attracted over here to put its headquarters that you would want to say, hey, we're here, it's a perfect time to come down here, because I know that there's still a lot of companies that are not here. So anyone in particular or a few?
I mean, Amazon comes to mind. We now, you know, it's no rumor. It's confirmed that we now have Jeff Bezos, you know, amazingly living in Miami, which is so exciting. And perhaps we could see another Amazon HQ in the future.
Well, I mean, he's not, you know, from what we know about him, I think it's his stepfather that's Cuban, correct?
His dad, yeah, it's his father.
So it's in somehow in his, you know, kind of DNA somehow connected that Miami attracted him here. So I think that's all.
Yeah, he's from here. He went to high school here, went to Palmetto High School. He has a lot of connections to this city and this community. And I think it's just amazing that he's decided to move here.
So just as we exit, you know, this podcast, and we're thankful that you're back here to talk about this, how would you describe Melissa Medina in one word? We usually ask our guests one word.
I would say passionate would be the one word. And that's both in a personal and professional level. I'm very passionate being a mom. I'm a mother of 5 children. I'm passionate being the CEO of my organization. I'm very passionate about this community. And lastly, but certainly not least, I'm very passionate about empowering entrepreneurs, empowering underrepresented entrepreneurs, empowering women, empowering youth. And I think all of that sort of is bundled into passion.
Well, thank you once again, Melissa Medina of Emerge Americas.
For this opportunity. Always so much fun. And I'll see you at Emerge. We'll continue
to talk. Oh, no, for sure. For sure, seeing everybody at Emerge. FIU has always a strong presence there, and we hope to be able to do a live feed with you there. So thank you so much, and best of luck in the next 10 years.
Thank you. Thank you. You'll be there right alongside, for sure.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.